Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 4. We're skipping around a little bit. Last week we're in Romans, this week we're in Philippians. And I wanted to, as you're flipping there, Philippians chapter 4. Can someone, once they get to the page in the Pew Bible, what page is it on? 874. Oh, that's the old one. 876. 876. It's still the word. It's still the word. Yeah. Yeah, it's still pretty close. In the newest ones, what is it? 901. Okay, now that we're in Philippians 4. I wanted to start out this morning by sharing with you about some research. There were some researchers doing a study on optimism and contentment. Optimism and contentment. And so what they did is they posted something in the newspaper, got the word out there. We're looking for some people who are about ready to have a birthday, some young girls who are ready for a birthday. So these moms signed up their daughters for this research and brought their daughters. Do you know where the story's going? and they brought their daughters into the lab. And these girls who are young girls who are about ready to have their birthday, and they're doing this research on optimism, being optimistic, and contentment. And so they tell the girls, hey, it's your birthday. And so guess what? As part of this research, we have something for you. We are going to give you each a pony. You guys each get a pony. You'd like one too, wouldn't you, Dylan? And I said, okay. So they had the camera set up, the mirrors, you know, the dual mirrors where it's like two-sided mirrors, whatever, where you can kind of see through, set up the cameras. And so they said, okay, girls, through these doors, your pony is awaiting you, okay? And so they set up the camera. The first girl goes into the door. She opens up the door, excited to see her new pony, and she goes in, and what she finds is awful. It's awful. It's just a pile of pony dung, okay, just dung, like just stacks and mounds of it. And she's disappointed. In fact, she's mad. She throws herself on the floor and throws a fit. Right? She throws a fit. So they're saying, okay. So the other young girl, they're like, through that door is a pony, you know? So she walks through the door, and she goes in, and she's, and it's the same thing. It's a pile of dung, of pony dung. And so they're filming her. So like they're watching her, and she's like taking this dung, and she's smiling with it, and she's tossing it. She's like, she's throwing it like this, and she's saying something, and they've got the audio, and they're like, she's like smiling, she's laughing, she's throwing it, and they're saying, what is she saying in there? And she's saying, and they listen to what she was saying. She's like, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Isn't it great? Isn't it a great story in contentment? Yeah, optimism. Like, isn't there something about the attitude of contentment or optimism that can just change your perspective? Okay, bad story. All right. Contentment, right? Contentment. We've never had that where we walked into a room like that, but we definitely have had circumstances where we're like, hey, can we be content? Where does it come from? Where does content come from? title of my sermon this morning is The Secret of Being Content. Where does it come from? What is the secret of being content? Last week, I had you guys, do you guys remember the verse from last week? Can you remember the verse from last? Oh, you raised your hand. Anyone know the verse from last week? And remember where it was? No one remembers. Oh no. Yes, Romans. Roman 8, yes. Yes, that's right, Romans 8, 28. And so last week I said, look, I want you guys to go to start out 2013. I want you to have this verse. I want you to hide it away. I want you to take it with you. And again, there's still time. I mean, Richard still had it. But I want you guys, overall, it's not about memorization. It's not necessarily, about, oh, I remembered. It's not a test, you guys. It's not a test. But it's more like, honestly, I really want you to take Romans 8:28, and I want you to hide it away. We talked about it. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Remember, we really walk through, really, in all things, does he do all things for the good of those who love him, right? And we walk through, like, what does that look like? What does that mean? And I said, look, we don't know what holds for you and for us 2013, but wherever you go, I want you to take that verse and really bring it into your heart so that when you get to that point, you're like, look, I know that whatever the circumstance, in all things, wherever I'm at, he's going to work it to the good of those who love him, according to those who've been called according to his purpose. And so this morning, I also wanted to share with you this passage about contentment. Contentment, right? I want us to, since we are a people to be set apart, since people to recognize those holy ones, those loved ones who are followers of Jesus Christ, and who are set apart and like, wow, where do you get your joy? Where do you get your contentment? I want us also to go into 2013 going, whatever circumstance I'm in, I can be content. I can have that contentment. And I guarantee you this year, at least some of us, is going to hit a circumstance where this is going to be challenged. Contentment. Or knowing that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Okay, so let's look at it. What is the secret? What is the secret of being content? Let's look, starting in verse 11. Okay, we'll start in verse 11 through 13. It says this. Paul says this, writing to the Philippians, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Okay? All right. So he starts out, verse 11, he starts out by saying, I'm not saying this. So what is he saying? I'm not saying what, you're not saying this, what? If you go back one verse, he starts saying, what this is he's writing this letter to the church in Philippians. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned but had no opportunity to show it. And he's saying, I'm not saying this because I am in need. Okay, so what's happening here is that Paul is in prison. Seems like a lot of our letters that Paul writes, like he's in prison in Rome. And what the church has done, the church of Philippi has sent a messenger named Epaphroditus, who's come from Philippi, which would be Turkey, and has traveled to Rome, all the way to Rome, to give Paul in prison a gift. And from all indications, this gift is resources. This gift is money, all right, to help Paul with his ministry, to give him comfort, to help him. And he's saying, look, I am so thankful. I greatly rejoice in the Lord that you've renewed your concern for me. You know, I'm really glad. I'm really glad that you thought about me, you renewed your concern for me, and you sent this. If you sent this guy, you know, I don't know how many miles, 800 miles, he's traveled this far just to give me this support, this kind of, to show this concern. And, but he's saying, like, I give thanks to you, but I'm not saying this because, I'm not thanking you because I'm in need. I'm not thanking you because I need more, okay? And so the Philippians were supporting Paul. Why? The Philippians were supporting him throughout his ministry. We all know that we heard from last week from Rosalie that we want to be kind of in tune with God's heart. So Rosalie's like, look, hey, some of us are going to be going to Guyana, and we're going to be doing some, we're going to be sharing the gospel in different ways. We're going to be revealing God in different ways. And I want you to join me. I want you to come along with me, and not in the sense of physically, but I want you to support this ministry that I'm going to be doing so that the gospel message goes forth to Guyana. Would you join me in prayer? Would you join me financially in sending me so that my team can share the gospel, right? And so that's what Philip, the church of Philippi was doing with Paul. They supported him in his ministry when he was in Macedonia. They started a church in Macedonia, in Achaia. And it says that actually for the church of Philippi, when it was in Macedonia, that it says, if you flip with me and flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verses 1 and 2. Let's see here. Who's got a, put up your hand if you got a newer Bible, or pull up your Bible if you got the newer version. Okay. Frank, could you read verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 out of the newer version, the NLT? Yeah, 1 and 2. Has given the churches of Macedonia. Yep. Okay, good, perfect. Okay, so what is happening is that this church has supported Paul's ministry even when they really had nothing. It's like, man, this church, you renewed your giving to me, your concern for me, even when you had no opportunity to show it. So in other words, a while ago, Paul was starting this church in Macedonia, and this church, like, didn't really have money to give, was a poor church, and at that time gave to Paul to support this ministry, and now. It's been a long time because they didn't have money to give, and now have renewed their support for him. And he's like, "Oh, I'm just so thankful." But again, here's the situation: is that he wants to thank the church, like, I genuinely want to show my gratitude for this gift. But he's like this: he's like, "I'm not saying this because I am in need, though. It's not that I'm in need of more financial gifts from you." For I have learned the secret. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every circumstance, in every situation. All right. So here's what we want to begin to like dig in is, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. The word content in the Greek is autarkes, and it was used by Stoic philosophers. If you ever read the book of 1 John, there's these philosophers, the Stoics, that were during the time. And they use that same word that we see for content in verse 11. And the word meant self-sufficient, okay? And their view, the Stoics' view of this characteristic, was it was the most, one of the most valuable attributes of a wise person. So if you could be content, if you could be self-sufficient, oh, that was highly valuable, very valuable, okay? And so likewise, like the Stoics, Paul, the Stoics, a little bit, they were similar, Paul was similar in that they felt like physical deprivation wasn't a disaster, and that also that comfort was not a sign of success. But unlike the Stoics, Paul does not find this resource in himself. So it's not like, hey, I'm so glad that I'm self-sufficient, right? He puts at the end of it, the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty and want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength, all right? So for Paul, his contentment, again, was not based on, look, I'm a self-made man. I'm sufficient in myself. He's like, the source of my contentment is God will supply all my needs. I can do all things in him, all right? And so have you, where'd my little clicker go? Have you guys come to the point, and this is an ongoing process, of being content, okay? Where are you in your contentment? And this is hard to think about. You can think about it in this context, it seems to be material things. Paul is talking about this monetary gift, and he's in prison, and conditions aren't well, and he's being persecuted. So you can look at it in one material, and you can also look at it in life circumstances. Have you come to the point where you're like, I've learned the secret of being content in all circumstances? I know what it doesn't mean. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that you can't express emotions. It's not like the Stoics, right? Doesn't mean that you can't feel pain. Doesn't mean that you can't express hurt or loss. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this kind of joy, this kind of contentment in all circumstances. In particular, in this situation, both kind of money and his circumstances of being kind of persecuted, being in prison. But let's start with material things. Have you guys come to the point, we live in a great country, we live in a great area where we've got lots. Have you come to the point where you feel content with what you have? And this is a tough one for us, you guys. Let's look at this, okay? Okay, so here we go. Teenage spending habits, okay? U.S., total U.S. teen spending, products bought by and for teens in the United States, right? Okay, $208.7 billion, which again, that money is so big. I can't fathom it. It's almost so big, you can't really wrap your hand around it. It doesn't really mean so much. All that you know, that it's a big, big number. We've got a lot of money to spend, don't we? Okay, how about this one? Average income of a 12 to 14 year old. And again, I don't know what this is driving at. You know, 12 and 14 years aren't working, maybe babysitting, maybe mowing lawns or something. Maybe it's money being like given to them from parents, where they're like, what is their income where they can spend, okay? Okay. For 12 to 14 year olds, $2,167. I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember when I was 12 to 14 year old. I don't remember having this income to be bought by and like for where I could have this money to. Okay, average income of those 15 to 17. Okay, $4,023. And you guys were like, some of you were like, I don't have that money. Like, where's that money coming from? I don't have that. But I think that some of you work. Some of you do work. A few of you work in this room. You know, have jobs, part-time jobs. Okay. So there it is. Percent of teens who have placed an online order in the past 3 months. Okay. Okay, so... Raise your hand if you've placed an online order in the past 3 months. I have. I'm raising my hand because I have. I'd say for us it's about 50% in this room. Okay. And it's 26%. So about a quarter of teens have placed. And I don't know, maybe it's because Christmas. I mean, for me, it's because we did some online ordering for Christmas and such. Okay. Percentage of teens who would choose, what they found is like teens, at least currently, teens prefer like actual things over like for example, concert tickets or stuff over like concert tickets or MP3 downloads. So percentage of teens who would prefer a new pair, how many of you would prefer a new pair of jeans over concert tickets? It depends on which concert. Depends on how old my jeans are, right? I don't know, it depends on my need. I have jeans, so I'd prefer concert tickets myself, right? So 63% of teens would like take jeans over a concert ticket. Percentage of teens who would choose new pair of shoes over 50 new MP3 downloads? 75%. Okay. Percentage of girls, 13 to 18, who bought 10 or more items of clothing in the past 6 months? Tina's like, that's me. 41, so less than half. All right, I had to put this last one in, just cause. Percentage of girls who would take $1,000 over hanging out with the Jonas Brothers. What if it was One Direction? Would that change? Oh, okay, that wouldn't change anything. 94, yeah, like only 6% would say, yeah, we'd hang out with Jonas. Okay. You guys, simmer down. Okay, so the point of this is one that I wanted to show this, just some of this, because it's just that, you guys, we've been given an abundance, haven't we? We have it all. Sometimes I say to Sarah, we have it all. We have everything we need and more and more and more, right? So we have an abundance. And so sometimes I look around and it's like, why? Why is it that we don't have, why do we, not always, I feel like maybe most of the time, you may think in your mind, how often you feel like you're content. And maybe most of the time you're like, yeah, I am content most of the time. And there's those few portions of the time where you're just not content. And I'll talk about one of mine just a little bit later. But we have an abundance. We just have it all, you guys. And so when we think about contentment, and again, maybe for you, this message is more about not with stuff, but maybe it's more about I've learned the secret of being content whatever the circumstances in my life, right? It's not about like the stuff, because maybe you're like, I am pretty content. Overall, I am content. But another point of this is that one of the things that we have to be careful as, since we are followers of Jesus Christ, is that we need to be discerners of our culture. Right? Discerners of our culture. Because one of the things that culture does is that culture surrounds us. We live in Rochester Hills and Rochester, and we live in Troy. And, you know, and so one of the things is that when we live in a culture and it surrounds us, we begin to take cues from the culture. And so what happens is we put culture here and the Word of God here. And there's this interaction. There's this interaction always. Are we in culture? Are we of culture? Are we participating in culture? Are we like, do we reject culture? And sometimes it's all three. We see Jesus in the culture, interacting with the culture. We see him rejecting culture sometimes. We see him transcending, like being outside of culture. And so what we have to ask ourselves is, man, we're surrounded by this. So sometimes it's even hard for us to discern what the culture is because we just live in such abundance. And so sometimes we have to go like, wait, is this because I'm in the culture that I want this, that I buy this, you know? You know, we can all, the other day I was sitting with I met with other pastors, and I noticed at one point where there's four pastors and we're all sitting and we're eating out at this place, at this burger place, and we all have our iPhones or our smartphones out on the table. You know, we're all just like looking for a message and stuff. And I think sometimes I'm like, yeah, phones, not evil. Technology, not evil. Nothing wrong. But you know, I just realized that that's such a mark of our culture, isn't it? And sometimes I wonder, like, where are we? Is there anything that we need to go in as far as contentment? Go, wait a second. The Macedonians gave out of nothing. They're like, oh, my heart is so burdened for you, Paul. I so believe in what you're doing and your message that we have no money. We have very little money. We have very, very little money. But man, everyone gather together, pull out of what you have, what little you have, and let's give towards it. Let's give towards it because we know how much has changed our lives. So let's just give towards it, right? So sometimes we're like, man, look at God's word and go, where are we in relationship to our culture? You know, is it that we need to be challenged more of going like, yeah, I can give up more. I mean, I don't have to stay with the culture. And I can pull out what I've been given and I can give towards God's heart. I can give towards the church. I can give towards missions, right? Because I'm content. I've been given all things. I have everything I need, right? That's the challenge. I was, this last Christmas, I shared with you guys, sometimes with my family, particularly with my relatives, when we meet for Christmas, we exchange gifts, okay? When we're away, a lot of times we don't meet for Christmas, we don't exchange gifts, we have in the past. And I've talked with you guys, I know that some of your families do exchange gifts, some of them don't exchange gifts, and it's really kind of helped me realize how even Christmas time is very cultural in the United States. It's cultural. There's things that are like just giving gifts is like a very cultural thing. And so in this process, I was looking originally for a sweatshirt for my brother-in-law. He's a Jets fan. So I'm like, hey, go online, NFL.com, NFLshop.com, and look for a sweatshirt. Meanwhile, Sarah and our family are talking about exchanging gifts as well. Because we were going to go to my parents' house, my brother and sister, my sister and brother-in-law were coming out from New York. We're all going to meet, and we're all going to exchange gifts to each other. And you know, I wanted to give something to Sarah. Sarah wanted to give something to me. And sometimes we're like, we don't know. And so Sarah's like, what is there any ideas? Do you have any ideas? And so I began to think. You know, I began to think about what do I like? What do I need? What's fun? You know, and I'm looking at these sweatshirts for my brother-in-law, and I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to have a Broncos sweater? You know, and so what happened is that I began to look online, and I began to like, there's multiple, you've shopped online before, there's like 1,000 different places that you can look for sweatshirts or Broncos sweatshirts even online. So I began to look at different websites. I began to look at different prices. I began to look at different designs, and I'm telling you, I spent like an hour, and then I go back the next day. I was like, maybe that sweatshirt's not so good. Maybe I can get a different one, you know. And so I look, and before I knew it, I was like, I step back, and I'm like, in some of these sweatshirts, I mean, I don't want to pin prices because I don't want to be legalistic. But these sweatshirts were higher. They were costly compared to just a sweatshirt from, you know, from Target or from, you know, Old Navy or something. But they were like expensive, they were higher cost. And I began to think, man, where am I going with this? Am I like, I had to question for myself, have I taken Paul's words, I have learned the secret of being content, whether with a lot or with little, and am I fine with that? Am I walking that out? Can I live that and walk it out, right? And so just on my own conscience, you guys, it's nothing wrong. If someone would have given it to me, I would have been like, take this expensive sweater and put it back. You know, nothing like that. Something I would have been like, oh, thanks. You know, cool sweater. I love it. You know, I would have been like, just fine with it. But I had to share with Sarah, like, you know, honey, don't get it for me. Like, I told you to get me a Bronco sweater. I'm changing my mind. Don't get it for me because I want this in my life. I want Paul's word. I want God's words in my life, right? I want this in my life, okay? And so what I want you to take home with you is is this verse, is the one where he says, I've learned that if you take home one verse, I've learned the secret of being content in every situation. And look what he says. He says, whether well fed, whether in abundance, or hungry. So I, it's not that I don't want to put a guilt conscience on you. If we have a lot, then we're bad. No, it's like I've learned the secret of being thankful, being content. If we have a lot, God's given us a lot. Thank you. Oh, I'm so thankful. We've been given so much. However, if we have little, I've learned the secret of being content whether I have whether I'm well fed or whether I'm hungry. Whether I'm living in plenty, I'm content. Because, I don't know, if you guys look around, I talk with my sister. She's from Brooklyn, and even she also said, look, there's this culture in Brooklyn, man, where it's like, you have to show up at parties at a certain way. You have to look a certain way. You have to kind of like be a certain, like, you know, in her circle, she's like, this is kind of the look. And she's even realized that, like, you know, there's a kind of certain way that you have to be. But whether you're living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Okay? That's what I want you to take home with you. I've learned the secret of being content. All right. Let's move on. Let's move on to the second portion, because there's one other thing I want to touch on with you guys. Okay? I'm just going to pull out one verse from this second portion. Yet it was good, verse 14, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, with the good news, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except only you. And again, that's the whole story of like this church that was extremely poor said, like, we believe so much of what the gospel has done in our lives, and we believe so much in the message that you are sharing, we'd be more than happy to give towards what you're doing, Paul. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again, and they did it repeatedly when I was in need. And here's what I want to point out, verse 17. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. All right? Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be accredited to your account. So it's like this. Paul's like, look, I am extremely excited and thankful, very grateful for what you've given to me. Even though I know that God's supplying all my needs, I'm just thankful. But what I'm more excited about, Paul says, is that when you give, you are being credited in your account. So what does this mean? So it's not like this. I do think that there is both earthly and heavenly accreditation or being credited for giving. So this is, we got to be careful with this. It's not like I don't know if you guys have heard the prosperity gospel, where it's like, give to the church, give $100, and I promise you, in 3 months, you will have $10,000. It's not like that. It's not like that. Paul's like saying, look, I'm glad that as you give, something's being given to you, okay? Whether it be in heaven, and I don't know what that'll look like. I don't know if that's rewards. I don't know if that's like Jesus's recognition to us of like going, look what was he gave up for, look what he gave towards my heart. Or if it's also, it's also here on earth, where it's like, as you guys give, something happens in us. There's something that's changed in us, there's something that's given to us when we are generous. There's actually something that moves in us, that changes in us when we begin to give. And I want to start challenging guys even now. I've kind of looked at, you know, I know that like I've been in like, obviously I grew up in kind of a Caucasian kind of setting and family, And I know this is an Asian setting in family, and I know, you know, and I know I've talked with some of you guys are given, you know, a certain amount a month, like, hey, here's $20 a month, and here, or it's like, here's as you need. And I've also noticed, one of the things I've noticed is that sometimes I've noticed in your guys' situation, for some families, it's like when students work, get your paycheck from, you know, name an Asian place where people work, Kumon or whatever, you know, sometimes what happens is the student will give the money back to the family. It's like, okay, I've earned this, I'm giving it back to the family. But where I want to encourage you is that as you have opportunity, is that you begin to develop this contentment by starting to give, okay? By starting to give. And some of you, I already know you already do this, where every, you know, on our screen here at the end, there's always a sign that says the tithing box in the back. You know, I keep this here. We used to have just a cardboard box. I don't know if you guys remember. It was just like a shoe box. It was here. And I said, wait a second. We need something back. We need something in our service where people can go, yeah, I want, God's given this to me, and I want to give as he's commanded back to him as worship. So I'm like, I want you guys to start. And again, it's always like sometimes Eric was sharing here last week about how he went to a finances and time workshop at Urbana. He's really challenged to give. It's like the further you go in your life, the harder it is to begin to that habit of like of giving, right? Of giving. And so even now, you guys, it's never been about the amount. It's always been what your heart is. God is always looking at your heart. So if it's like, hey, I get, you know, I don't know, $10 a month, and you give a dollar in there a month, doesn't matter. God is looking at your heart. He wants you to be giving in praise and in generosity to reflect his goodness to the people around him, around us, okay? So here's a way to walk this out, okay? I want to bring it to a close. Contentment. I've learned the secret of being contentment in all circumstances. Here's how we walk it out. The first is thankfulness. The times where I've seen thankfulness the most, or I've noticed thankfulness the most from our group, is we've been on a few mission trips, and like I noticed particularly when we came back from Ambridge, we took a mission trip to Ambridge, Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh. And what I noticed is that when we came back, is that our group was like, wow, we really do. After mixing in and hanging out in Ambridge, PA, like I can't believe how much we have. And also what some of the students noticed is like, they had so little, but yet they were still just fine. They were still really content. And it really kind of clicked, kind of altered a little bit. Our own to practice that, and also when you go on these missions, when you travel, man, you can kind of see like begins with what God has given you is to start with tithing. I mean, giving to the church or to the mission, okay, to the mission. Generous giving is ways that we can begin to walk out this contentment. And when you do that, and close this in prayer. Period.